Now, I want to set the scene. The scene is the San Diego courtroom. Two men are on trial. A witness has just taken the stand, been sworn in. He sits down. And they did that standard, do you promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God? And he said, yes. And he said, were you at this location on January the 17th? He said, yes, I was. Did you see the red and blue truck pull into the parking lot? Yes, I did. Did you see two men get out and go into the store? Yes, I did. Did you witness the robbery that took place? He says, yes, I did. And he says, did you get a real good look at the people, at the two men who committed the robbery? He goes, yes, I did. And then he turned and he faced the man and he goes, are there those two men in the courtroom right now? They each raised their hand, sealing their fate. And it was like, oh, okay. And that's a true story. It really happened, okay? They raised their hand. And so the truth of it is, though, in our lives, haven't we all done something we just have to raise our hand and say, yep, I did it. Sadly, and more than once, I need to say, yep, I did it all, okay? And so what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about guilt. And Barry says, what are you talking about this morning? I said, grace. But I'm going to talk about guilt and grace, okay? Some people, you commit a crime and you go to court and so on, and hopefully you get justice, okay? But what I want to talk about today is not our kind of justice, but God's kind of justice, okay, that we're going to get there. Because we all slip up, we all sin. But God has an answer for all of that and how to do it and how to go that way. And we get guilt feelings. I get guilt feelings in the past. And so we want to look at two different things. When there is real guilt and then there's false guilt. And they're different. And we go through there. So we want to ask sort of two questions. I got to get my mouth to slow down here. Okay. We're going to ask two questions. What's the difference between real guilt and false guilt? And then how do we deal with guilt? Our way of dealing with guilt is very different from God's way of dealing with guilt. Okay, very different. So what is guilt? It's how we feel guilty and the things that we have. And we all know what it feels like to feel guilty in that thing. And Psalms 38:4 says, my guilt is overwhelmed, has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to carry. Everyone knows what it likes to feel guilt and have that time in your life when something happens and you think, oh, please, God, I hope nobody finds out about this. I hope my parents don't hear about this. But a lot of times they do. And they have a different way of handling the guilt. But that's not all there is to guilt. Is that what God means it to be? Is guilt a punishment that God gives us for a time to make us feel bad about what we did and go on? No, the purpose of guilt is not just to make us feel bad. Okay, that's not the purpose of guilt. God has a greater purpose for it than that. And guilt is actually a warning. Now, how many of you drive cars? Or have driven a car? Okay? You notice on the dashboard there's a warning light. Do you have any on yours, Kyle?
Quiet. I had five.
He had five of them. Okay, so what happens is you're going along and the warning light comes on. What do you do? We were going to California. Okay, but that's okay. Keep that thought, okay? We're going to California, and the check engine light comes on. So we pulled over. We lifted the hood. It was still there. Okay, now what? Check the engine. And so it's one of those things. But, if a warning light comes on in my car, I could try and fix it, but I don't know that much about cars. When I was younger, and if you had the old V8s with the carburetors and all that, I could mess with those. But the ones nowadays you can't mess with, and so you try to fix them, and you get there. And so, you have this warning light that says something's wrong. And that's what happens in our life, too. We get this feeling of guilt that says there's something wrong. And it needs to be fixed. And so, you know, does it help to ignore it? Well, you could put duct tape over it or break it, you know. And some people, that's how they respond to it. They ignore it, they do that sin. So we try to ignore or pretend that it's not there. In my other car, I had my sunglasses were on the dashboard and it covered up the light, so I couldn't see it. So it was like, okay. But the truth is, there's something wrong and it needs to be fixed. Okay? And now, like I said, I could try it myself, but that doesn't work. And in my life, usually it means I've got to go talk with God. Because I've done something that I know I shouldn't have. Or I keep doing the same thing over and over. How many of you do that? You have a favorite sin? You keep doing it over and again, and I have to go, oh God, I've done it again. You know, and I have to go confess and you know, so good. But that's part of what the thing is. God wants to help us fix it. That's why God gives us the warning light, so that we can help us feel with it, we can deal with it and spend time with God. And so there is real guilt, though. Real guilt comes when we've actually done something wrong, when we've actually committed something. Now, I had, you know, some real guilt in my life, all of us have, and we have to do that on. And so real guilt is when you say, I've hurt somebody. And that, for me, that's the worst part, when I hurt somebody. And I feel guilty about it. And we have to deal with the guilt. And like I said, there's two kinds. And false guilt, we must understand before we can figure out how God gets in and deals with it. And when you're feeling worrying about something that doesn't make any sense. And it's like the dashboard's not on, but we're worried about it anyway. We're worried that it's going to come on. We worry about it and we worry about it. And we worry about what people would say if the dashboard light come on. Have you ever done that? Worry about what somebody said, might say if it came on. But usually, false guilt comes from something that's not your fault. That's why they call it false guilt. Some of the people who experience the worst fault guilt are children. A family gets divorced, and the kid feels responsible. It must be my fault that mom and dad got divorced. It must be my fault that dad drinks and beats us up. I probably deserve it. And you feel guilty in some way like that. And we get caught up in somebody else's sin. And it could be physical abuse, mental abuse, all kinds of things in childhood. And you get in there. And the problem is you go, I just can't get this out of my life. I can't get rid of it. And we get stuck in that past. We get stuck in the shame. And, you know, we feel that false guilt. And one of the places where false guilt is really popular, churches. People who go to church suffer a lot from false guilt because they're worried about the rules and regulations. They feel like there's no way out. They've been trying for a long, long time. And Galatians says, and they try harder and harder. And Paul, talking to the Galatians, says, you are so foolish. After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? That's a sign of false guilt, when you start trying to attain it by human effort, trying to handle it yourself, when it's something that God needs to deal with. And God needs to go there. And so we're trying to please God, and we think we can't please God. So we try harder and harder and harder. Ever done that? Tried it harder and harder, and it's like it doesn't work. And so we have to know the difference between the false and true guilt. One of the things you can ask yourself, is the focus on people or is it on God? If it's real guilt, it's going to be on God. and it's going to be about people that you hurt, and there's going to be a false judgment attached to it. True guilt comes from the divine judgment, and God wants to make us aware of this situation. And if we struggle with false guilt, a lot of times we are struggling also for human acceptance. We have the inferiority complex. Now, I didn't have an inferiority complex. I was just inferior. And that's the way it was. And so, you know, you try to do things to win people's approval. You become an approval junkie. And you just work and work and work and work. And then you need more and more and more. And the harder you try, the more you want to do. And it just becomes this vicious cycle. And you feel tired because you're always trying to fill somebody else's expectations. Now, I can hardly fill my own, or carry out all my own expectations. How many times have I expected to do something and I didn't? And I feel guilty about it. Why? Because it's hard. And you're trying to live up to those things. But with true guilt, it's about people and your relationship with people. And God wants to help you in those things. God wants to help you out of false guilt too. But in the real guilt is when God points it and says, you know, you need to do that. The second thing you want to know, is it vague or is it specific? Is it just not kind of this vague feeling you have that something's wrong, but you don't know what it is, and it's kind of there? When God is trying to work with you on that, God uses a little point light, pen light, you know, laser light, and he puts it right on what the problem is. And you know what it is. There's no question. And he wants to help you work with it. That's why he's shining it in there and making it sure that it's right there. Have you ever had those times when God put something on your heart and no matter what you do or where you go, it's there? I had one time when this thing was on my heart and I turned on the radio and it was in the song they were singing. It was in the message at church that day. Driving down the freeway, there it was on the billboard. And every place I went, it was like, okay, I get the message now. I guess I better deal with this. And so he uses a lot of things in our lives. And it, you know, you have to ask ourselves, is this just kind of fuzzy or is it exact? And God's trying to help you get the message. And sometimes when you hit, you send the song and then the billboard and the birthday card and all this stuff, it's like, oh, this is really serious. I've got to get to go and get this fixed and get things right in my life. Another thing we need to do is it about rules and regulations or is it about relationships? When I came in here, I was walking in rules and regulations, not relationships. And because I had a wrong concept of Jesus Christ. And that had to change. When you're struggling from false guilt, you feel like I broke the rules. And the reality is, I did. But they were man-made rules. And they were imposed on us with such strictness that you couldn't be there. False guilt just tries to mess up relationships. And it blinds us to the miracles of God's work. And it magnifies the rules and regulations made up by man. So how do we handle, how do we handle guilt? Well, we can go back to the very first creation when God created the earth. He made the Garden of Eden, right? And then he made Adam and Eve, and he put them in the garden, and Scripture says they were naked and unashamed. Naked and unashamed. And they were in the garden. And he says, you can eat, and you can do anything you want, but don't eat of that tree. That's mine. In the day that you do, you're going to die. Well, what happens? They ate of the fruit. So God comes into the garden. He says, where are you? They were embarrassed. They were ashamed. They were feeling shame because what? They were naked. So what did they do? They tried to sew together leaves to make clothes for themselves, which is all well and good until the leaf dries out and then it crumbles and falls off. You know? So what's the next thing they do? They hid themselves. Adam says, I was afraid because I'm naked. And he says, who told you you were naked? And so they were trying to hide from God. And you know, that's real. How many of you ever tried to hide from God? It doesn't, you okay? We have one person here. Raise your hand right off the bat, okay? Because, you know, you can't hide from God because God knows everything. So it's really kind of silly to try to do that. It doesn't work. The next thing they do is they try the blame game. God asks Adam, what happened? He goes, it's that woman you gave me. She's the one. She's messed up. She gave me the fruit. Eve, of course, is there. She's real. She's forthright. Yes, I did it. What does Eve do? It's the serpent. The serpent beguiled me and gave me the fruit. And the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. But we often try to blame our way out of things. It's his fault. Or it's the car's fault. Or it's this fault. Or this, that way, or the other. And so we try to blame something else. And we all do it. But God's way of dealing with guilt is very different from ours. God's way is what? Grace. God's way of grace is grace. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so we confess our sins. That means we raise our hand and say, I did it. You don't have to do the twist at the end, but I did it. I confess it. I'm to blame. Now, what if we want to look at the root of sin? And the one thing I saw is how do you spell sin? S-I-N. S-I-N. If you take the S and the N off, what do you have? I. And that's the root of it. I want to do it my way. I'm leaving you out of what's going on. Back in the 40s, I think it was, Frank Sinatra had a song, I Did It My Way, and I'm leaving out. But that's what it is. It's sin's all about. It's about saying to God, I'm leaving you out. And when it comes to guilt, to sin, we have two choices. We either cover it up or we face up. You either admit it or you try to cover it up. And covering up does not work at all, okay? And so how do you confess your sins? You tell God. It's that easy. God already knows everything, so why not tell him? Why not be honest? Psalm 69:5 says, you know my folly, O God. My guilt is not hidden from you. There's nothing harder to try to hide than something that's unhideable. You can't hide that which is unhideable because God knows. It's kind of like you can't walk away from that which you carry. If you're carrying a bunch of garbage around from you, you can't walk away from it. It's not going to work because it's there. You might as well tell him. So how do you do it? In prayer. You talk with God. And the beauty about that is you can do that right now. You can just start praying right now. Well, wait a minute. I'm talking, so maybe not. No. But you can do it right now. Because the thing of it is, if you start praying, if it's important, you start praying about it. Because it's going to be more important for that prayer than listening to me. And God can listen to you and me at the same time. In fact, if all of us stopped right now and started praying about the things that are on our mind, God hears it all. That's the beauty of it all. God hears every bit of it. And so you can pray right now and do what, and say, God, you know, this. I need to talk to you about this. I need to talk to you about it. And God will listen to you in what you're doing. And he listens. Now, sometimes people want a more tangible way of dealing with guilt. And one of the ways that I heard about was is to take a piece of paper, okay, you got your pen, you got your paper, you start writing down all the sins that you have that come to mind. Doesn't matter if they're true or false. Don't think about it. Just write it down. Okay? And then you take 1 John 1:9, and you pray that over those sins. Then you take this piece of paper with all your sins on it, and you burn it as a symbol of giving it up, getting rid of it, letting it go, getting it out of the way. And so you burn it. There's something else you can do, but maybe there's something that happened and you're feeling guilty. My brother's daughter, when she was a teenager, her boyfriend committed suicide. She felt guilty, like she was responsible for it. And so he had Ashley sit down with a piece of paper and write a letter to him about everything that she felt, everything that was going on, anger, everything. And they took it up to the cemetery, and he took a round thing up, and he poked a hole in the ground, and they put the letter down, rolled up the letter, and put it down in the ground and covered it back up. And that helped her get over her anger and her guilt and her shame. And you know, sometimes people just don't want to be helped, but we need to confess our sins. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Find a good trusted friend and confess in him, confide. But make sure that it's somebody that you can really trust. You just don't go out on the street and grab somebody and say, hey, come here, let me tell you my sins. You know, it's not something you're going to do. That's not going to happen. But there's something, there's a strength in knowing that you're not alone. And in researching this, I've listened to tapes and look at things I read and different people's accounts and what people, different people did and so on and so forth. And one of them was a guy, and he was a sect addict, and he went to a group called Love in Action. And it's for people who have some type of a sex addiction of some kind. And so he's going there for the first time, a little bit leery about it, gets inside, and he's sitting over there, and the guy gets up to talk, and the guy starts off, and he says, I was driving home from work last night, and I drove past the sleazy bar, and I wanted to go in, and some hands went up in the air, and he said, and I turned around, and I pulled in the parking lot, and I got out of my car, and I went in, and some hands went up in the air, and he proceeded to tell him about that he spent the night there and what he did, and hands were going in the air, and he was kept looking at this going, why isn't he answering any, why was anybody asked questions in the middle of the story like this and not, you know, but they're not being answered. And so he finally gets to the end, and the guy says, and I just felt so ashamed, and I felt like God could never forgive me, and all the hands went up in the air and except his. And so he's sitting there, and when the meeting got over, the guy who was conducting the meeting came up and he says, I noticed you seem to be having a problem. He says, is there something I can help you with? He goes, well, yeah. He says, I don't understand. He says, all these people had all these questions, but yet they never stopped to, you know, inquire what they were and to find out how to fix it. And the guy says, oh, he says, no, he says, that's not what it's about. This is about nobody being and serving alone in the things they are. So when the guy's speaking, if he says something that you relate to, then you raise your hand to let him know that he's not alone, that other people felt that way. And that was like, oh, okay. And there's strength in knowing that I'm not alone. And the reality is we could take all of our sins, and there's thousands of people who've done the same thing. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's not a sin, but it's you're not alone in it, and you're not alone in that struggle, and it helps to know. And part of the preparation, what I was going through, was a lot of different ways that people dealt with a lot of different things. And one of the things that in the book I was reading, we talked about was a place he went online where people confess and talk about the things that they have done in their life and people who have hurt them and things like that. And an interesting thing they came to was about a woman that wrote in and told about that she was the hurter, she was the betrayer, and what took place in her life. And she was a good church-going lady. She was in the park, and she met this guy named Bill. And they struck up an acquaintance, and pretty soon it evolved, and pretty soon they were involved in a relationship. You know, she got pregnant, and so Bill decided to leave the wife. They'd been married for 8 years with no children, and so they got divorced, and the lady was named Lisa, and she calls up this lady that's pregnant, and she says, "I want you to know that I'm not mad at you." And she thought, "What? You're not mad at me?" And she says, "No." And she says, "I hope we can all be a family," and, you know, so on and so forth. And Lisa turned out to be the one that consoles her in the whole thing like that, in the situation that took place. So it helps to find somebody that you can relate to and with. Then you want to trust God's character because he wants to help you. Now, Satan will try and convince you that you can't get close to God. And that's one of the traps of Satan. The reality is, the closer you get to God, the more you feel forgiven. And the more you feel his grace and the things that are going on. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Cleansing us from that guilty conscience. And I can tell you, when you go to God with things that are like heavy, that weigh on you heavy, and I remember, you know, being in my room and just kneeling down and starting talking to God and bawling my head out, and got, you know, bawling my eyes out and all this stuff, and the peace that came over me that just calmed and just said, "It's okay. It's not right, but it's okay, and you're forgiven." And even though you say you forgive and forget, you don't. You don't forget. But the sting goes away because you learn to, you let it go, and you give it to God, and you let God have it. And you get closer to God, and when we get closer to God, it frees us from the things that are there that want to tear us apart. And we don't become the people that God wants us to be through guilt. Guilt doesn't help us to become the more perfect person that God wants us to be. Grace does. It's done through God's grace, okay? And the third part is we have to accept God's forgiveness. God's forgiven us, we have to accept it. And it says, you know, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he will purify us from all. And that word "all" is a very important word in Scripture, because all is all. It's like everyone. You know, Jesus died for everyone. In John 3:8, people who believe in God's Son are not judged guilty. We all have this picture that when we get to the pearly gates, that's when we're going to be judged, whether we're guilty or not. Doesn't happen that way. Sorry to disappoint you. It happens here on earth, right now, at this time. Why? Why? Here's what happens, not in heaven. Okay, but why? Because God wants us to live our lives happy and better now. And so you deal with it now. And God, through Jesus Christ, says you're not guilty. So you can relax it and you can go on with your life. Now, does God do that because we deserve it? No. No, not because we deserve it. I don't deserve it, you don't deserve it, but because of God's grace. Psalms 32:5 says, "When I acknowledge my sin to you and do not cover up my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." I confess it. I let it go. That's pretty incredible. And some people need that first part of that sentence. I will fully finally admit all my sins, and you stopped and took care of them. And the rest of us need to get the problem. You forgave me all my sins. And the sad thing is, there's a lot of people that it takes them years to get from that first half of that verse to the last half of that verse. We all have guilt. We all have guilt. But we don't need to carry it around. It doesn't need to be one of those things we carry with us everywhere we go, because you let it go. Part of getting past that, really, is the journal we have, writing down the things that we're thankful for and not focusing on the negative stuff, because the negative doesn't help. Down here, I got a sign that says, mistakes are just proof that you're trying to do something, that you're doing something. Now, I have another one downstairs that says, don't be so hard on yourself. We are sometimes our own worst enemies. We create more guilt than sometimes people do. So we can't do that. We have to let go of it and walk in the joy and the peace and the love. And just do it. So I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. I try to remember to do this on Sundays. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this? Why is he standing up there talking? Why is he saying what he's saying? And God will put something on your heart. May not be immediately, but take the time, close your eyes, and think about it. Living Father, we thank you that you are a loving God, that you don't dwell in the past. You don't dwell on things that have happened. You forgive us when we confess our sins, and you help us to let them go. And you help us to walk in joy and happiness, not in sadness. And Lord, I've known too many people that just hang on to the past. They get stuck in that past and they just can't seem to get by it. For some reason, they want to hold on to it. And Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to help them right now to release that past and realize that holding on to this guilt is not your plan. Because a lot of times, Lord, it's something that somebody else did. And we're not even guilty for. We didn't do anything wrong. But because of what happened, we think we did. Help us to get past that and realize, Lord, that you're there lifting us up, strengthening us. And you said when we confess that you will lift us up. And so, Lord, we trust you with that. We believe you. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you. And Lord, help us in the coming days and weeks and months to take this little booklet we have and spend some time to write down something that we're thankful for every day so that we have an account, that we have a remembrance that says, oh yes, I have a blessed life. Because Lord God, we do. We can hang on to the sadness, we can hang on to what people have said to us, and we can let that ruin our day and our life. But Holy Spirit, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Just because somebody said something to you doesn't mean you have to be down in the dumps. Lord, thank you for lifting us up, for strengthening us. In Jesus' name, amen.